Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
What's up, orange men and ladies? Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. Thank you so much for tuning in at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia, rate, review, subscribe. If you listen on iTunes, we appreciate that. And thank you to everybody who already has done so. Welcome. Syracuse put up a valiant effort against number one Clemson. They showed us all, basically, that there's still something to root for, despite the Tigers dropping the orange 47-21. And when we were coming into this game, the spread was 46, and, you know, you looked at it, and you're like, man, that's a lot of points, but I don't know, man, maybe Clemson can cover. And Syracuse goes... And although there are no moral victories, so don't count me in that group. But when you look at the game, there's a lot of good to come out of it. Look, they got smoked at the end of the game. There's just so much talent and athleticism on Clemson. It just was tough. And even if you have full capacity and 100% healthy and you don't commit turnovers, that game's going to be tough to win. And here we are, depleted with injuries, and, you know, you've got four turnovers. And so, obviously, that just makes things that much more hard. But, like I said, no moral victories. But, Joe, there's a lot of good stuff to take out of this game, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first, it comes down to... When you start losing games the way that we're losing games and everything, and people start calling for the coach, people start to expect to see that team kind of – the coach kind of lose the team, right? And obviously you see these kids out there. They're still trying to get better, play disciplined, and just progress, and they're playing for the coach. So, and we saw the recruits' reactions this past week or so that are coming in next year, and – how they have the support of coach and everything like that. So, again, I told you after the game that after we lost to Vito and I saw how we played against Duke and Liberty and such, that I was kind of on the side of that we might not win another game. And I think that this past Saturday kind of changed that thought process for me.
Reignited that hope in pulling out a couple more, one or a couple maybe even victories. Just a lot to build off of, in my opinion. And, you know, you got breakout star in Garrett Williams, you know, which was just a breath of fresh air, man. This kid, man. And I listened to his post-game press conference, and he was saying, you know, they're all on social media. They follow all the big names in Syracuse media. And they hear what there is being said about them via the writer's standpoint. In you know, all of the outlets. And he's like, look, we're on there. We see it. We read it. And when it's negative, we just use it as motivation. So that's good because there's plenty of negative stuff to read. So,
yeah, man, he's got some stat out there. He's like number one in the nation for he's been thrown to 30 times without giving up a touchdown. So he's been thrown at the most times without giving up a tight end or a touchdown in college football right now. So, he's an underrated guy for sure, and him being redshirt freshman, it's just, I mean, for years to come. I hope he doesn't leave early if this trajectory continues. But he did talk about in his presser, like you said, how he worked and how he knew because of how hard he worked and everything from his redshirt year last year that that he was going to be in the mix. And I'm glad to see that he's carved out a role.
Yeah, and, you know, a huge confidence booster for him. He can do it. He's obviously a talented kid and just a breath of fresh air, just a really humble, down-to-earth kid. I thought his press conference was just top-notch. Yeah, like class act guy. So, anyways.
Hey, and Mel Fuano did pretty good, too. Both those corners played really, really well.
We'll get into it. The whole defense played great. So, anyway, we're going to hear from Coach. Then you're going to hear more from us. And then we're going to hear from you. But like I said, Coach first. Here's what Coach Babers had to say in the post-game press conference.
Well, I just think you're playing a very exceptional football team, and you just can't, you know, you can't make mistakes. If you're going to have turnovers, which we had in the second half, and if you don't match those turnovers on the other side on the defense, which we were doing early, you know, it's just hard to stay with a team like this. You got to get lucky. They got to give some to you, and then you got to play almost a perfect game. And we gave a really good effort. I'm really proud of the effort that the guys gave. I really did believe that they were fighting out there, but just too much firepower on the other side. He did a fantastic job of obviously reading the quarterback's eyes and getting the pick. And then he ran that ball. I mean, we may have a new punt returner, kickoff returner. And he pushed that thing up the sideline, and I thought he could have kept it there. But then, you know, that's the reason why I'm old and he's young. He saw something and broke it to the right. Then he walked in, you know, 4 or 5 yards with the ball, showcasing the ball. And I'm sitting there going, wow. You know, here's another young guy showing up, just letting you know how young this team is. And for him to make a play like that on a stage like this against a team like that, hopefully he's going to be around here a long, long while. You know, Sean couldn't finish, lower body thing. You got to see how it goes. But my hat goes off to that young man. I mean, at halftime, for us to be in a game like this and for him to have more yards at halftime than ETN, I'm sitting here going, he was really, really running well. So I really hope that you know, he's able to come back with us. But I'll tell you what, he has had an eye-opening first half of the season, and I'm really excited for him and his family. You know, let me take it to this right here, okay? Because I'm a pitcher guy. Smurf had an opportunity for an interception. It touched his hand, and he didn't catch it. And then it popped up. And then it touched his hand again, and he didn't catch it. And then he had a third opportunity to catch it. And then it hit the ground. And I'm sitting there, and all I could think about is Trevor Pena's first pass that went into the dirt. Justin Barron's first that he caught, and then the guy ripped it out versus Liberty. I mean, it may not be his first pass, but his first big pass. And I'm just thinking, I just can't wait for these guys to turn into sophomores. Because he's not gonna make that mistake again. But you've got to allow him to make the mistake the first time. Hannah, with the fumble that was on the sidelines, when all he had to do was just calm down, take a deep breath the last game, and pick it up on the sideline, maybe run in it for a touchdown. Instead, he jumps on it like a baby seal on ice and slides the ball out of bounds when there's nobody else around. And, you know, they're going to get older, and they're going to get bigger, and they're going to get better. And I'm going to have to take all these lumps until they do. But they're coming to a theater near you where they're going to be older and they're going to be better. And then hopefully I won't have to take so many lumps.
All right. The coach montage is brought to us by a title sponsor of the Cuse Militia, and that is betonline.ag. Look, the most of the stands are still empty. So how can you get in on the action, we ask? Well, I have the perfect idea for you. Head over to betonline.ag. Football's in full effect. Teams strutting their stuff. The MLB playoffs are wrapping up. We got the World Series. You can still hit that up. Now, you might not be able to get to a game this year, as we spoke about, but you can still get in all the action at Bet Online. They're going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to Bet Online today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to hit up the good, bad, and the ugly. Look, there's plenty of good to go around. And I could have made this list. I could have just done the whole thing good, to be honest with you. And like I said, no moral victories, but there's so much good to take from this game, really. The Orange run defense, that's been their Achilles heel the last three games, most recently giving up 338 yards to Liberty. They held a dangerous Clemson rushing game to 147 yards, keeping ETN under his average of 6.5 coming into the game to 5.4. I'll take that. Sean Tucker, he continued to impress before leaving the game with an injury, 63 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. We talked about redshirt freshman Garrett Williams. He becomes the first college athlete to turn a Trevor Lawrence pick into a touchdown, and he also led the Orange in tackles with 8, 1 for a loss, and 2 pass deflections. Anthony Quealy, he had his best game of his young career so far, 5 receptions for 58 yards. Nakeem Johnson, he also impressed with 1 catch for 83 yards, a touchdown. He also racked up 59 yards on the ground with 2 carries. They covered the spread. Look, that was a huge thing coming into this game. They covered the spread. All in all, there was plenty of good, and you could take away a ton of it from this game. I thought they fought hard. They never gave up against the number one team in the country. They gave them a run for their money for, you know, 2.5 quarters, which is kind of what we wanted. Like, we were talking, like, let's do this for a half and see what happens.
Almost three.
And
almost three.
Yeah, it was really close. The bad, we don't know the extent of Sean Tucker's injury in the last, last we checked, at least. I hadn't heard anything. I checked before we came on. So he was able to walk off the field on his own, right? So Taj Harris, he did not travel with the team. We all know that by now. That's bad. The ugly, again, missed opportunities as we watch some growing pains in these young players. You heard Coach talk about the possible interception. Greenwood had his hand on that thing 3 different times and so close. Every single time he was so close. Mm. So, and look, one more thing of the ugly. It has to be brought up. I acknowledge Culpepper has been thrust into a difficult position, but I'm going to call ugly when I see it. 4 turnovers for Rex, 3 interceptions and a fumble. One of the interceptions in the end zone, a fumble, though, probably the worst of them, I guess, really turned the tide of the game, resulting in 7 points for Clemson. And that was the beginning of the end for the Orange in Death Valley. So, Joe,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I think, you know, there's a lot of positives to take, okay? But you limit a couple of those turnovers, mainly that fumble and the interception in the end zone. You get both of those back. I mean, this could have been a nail biter, the way I see it.
Yeah, I mean that fumble recovery for a touchdown you were talking about, that was with 1:26 left in the third quarter. So when we talk about almost three quarters, I mean that was a 27-21 game at that point.
Yeah,
and. I agreed with a lot of your positives. Obviously, the young defense, we heard it over and over again. It's all the broadcasters kept talking about, and they were making play after play, especially our secondary. I even thought that that Smurf Greenwood had a chance to get a pick 6 early in the game if he would have just broke on the ball, because it was just a little stop, and he broke on it, but he took his eyes off the ball and played the defender and then kind of lost the ball. But if he would have just been on the ball the whole time, that could have been a pick 6. So our defense, you could tell, it definitely gave them trouble, and they came to play, and I was definitely glad for that. And I did not know what was going to happen with Taj Harris. Obviously, when he didn't make the trip, we kind of knew what was up. Also, Trill Williams, I don't believe, made the trip either. He didn't play this week. So kind of hoping that's not a situation where when he came in last week, he, like, tweaked something or re-injured something. I remember his father saying something about what him going in and playing without him really wanting to, right? And I mean, I don't know if that's kind of a, you know, he went back in and got hurt thing, because obviously he didn't make this trip. So
obviously not fully recovered, Joe, and probably, I mean, just to piggyback off that real quick, maybe not risking, not worth risking, you know, any more injury to whatever Trill has going on. You know, one of those things where it's like, you know, just better off, just take the week and come back strong, you know, against Wake Forest. So at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Sean Tucker, I mean, it's crazy that we talked about the bicep hold and what ATN's average was going to be. And it ended up being lower.
Yeah.
And we rushed for more yards than they did. So we were overall pretty good on the penalty side, other than the fact that, I mean, 5 penalties for 35 yards. So, but it wasn't, some of them were in timely situations. There was somewhere it was 3rd and 2, turned it into a 3rd and 7. So some of those were drive enders. Obviously, the turnovers, and a lot of that has to do with, again, like you talked about, the quarterback situation. And we weren't going to put anybody else other than Rex Culpepper out there against Clemson. And he played formidable, and he did what he could do. They set some good plays up, had a good game plan for him. You can notice, I don't know, with all the little pads that everybody had when they were looking at the plays and stuff. I think that's something that they probably went back and did to simplify the offense. They definitely slowed it down, like how we talked about.
Yeah,
they weren't going as fast paced, right?
And let's talk about that for a second, because I mean, don't you think that should be the game plan going forward?
Yeah, for the near future, right? Not even with Rex Culpepper, because you saw that we kind of lulled him to sleep with short passes, and the run game was working. The safeties came up, and then you saw what happened when we went fast the one time, and Nyheim Johnson got that 83-yard touchdown pass, right? Because we were running effectively, we were going slow, running down the clock, and then all of a sudden, boom, we get up to the line, call play, run fast, and we catch them off guard, and the safety's not up top, and Nyheim Johnson does have speed to do that. So for our receivers to do what they did without Taj there, I was pretty happy. Didn't really see too much Benson. Hackett, he dropped that one ball that would have been a surefire first down. So again, we still were making too many mistakes where we probably took some points off the board. But those fourth quarter turnovers, a couple of those, obviously that fumble recovery and then for a touchdown, and then those other interceptions later on, which were pretty bad. But I know he's just trying to make something happen down two possessions, right? So overall, I mean, you can't be upset with what you saw. And it was actually interesting to see who next in line was, right? I mean, you really can't call it next in line, but then Jacoby and Morgan came in. And so
he didn't get to throw the ball. I would have liked to have seen him drop back and throw the ball, but I understand. I do. I agree with it, not doing that. But it would have been nice to see.
And kudos to Cooper Lutz.
Yeah, he come in there
and
did a good job.
Right, because he played running back in high school, and I watched his tape. I remember him. It was pretty good, but then they said he was moving to a slot receiver, and he had redshirted and everything. And, I mean, these are the only type of minutes that he's played at all this year, and he went from slot receiver back to running back because of our depth, and then Sean Tucker goes out like that. So for him to go in there against Clemson, and, I mean, I know he kind of got overpowered on that block where Culpepper got where he fumbled, but for the most part, they did a lot better. And, again, kudos to the coaching staff for kind of simplifying that and getting a game plan out there that kind of is catered more to our offense. So
yeah, more of that.
Definitely. And I think that when you do more of that and you continue down that road, especially you're going to have to do that with younger quarterbacks as well if you plan on bringing any of them in. If some of them are better passers than Culpepper eventually, because they are going to need practice to get prepared. But you're going to have to do what you have to do to be competitive. And this past week was the first step.
Yeah, and look, I think the buy, sell, or holds, they fit appropriate with this game, if I do say so myself. I mean, I did come up with them. But I'm just saying, you know, we talked about holding ETN. That was one of them, right? We assumed he was just going to walk all over us. Well, he got banged up a little bit a couple different times. And came in and out, didn't really play a full game, really. And, it happens.
At some point, I was wondering what he was in there for.
Like, I know, right?
They're up 14, 17 points at the end. I don't know if he was trying to get the ACC record against us, but I'm glad it didn't happen.
Yeah, right? I'm glad it didn't happen, too. And, he didn't have many yards to go, right? He only had to get like 130 coming into that game, right? Something like that.
Something like that. I think he was close to just 40 yards away. So.
Yeah, he ended up with 86 yards, so he was probably about 40 away. And of course, we are all going to be thankful that we didn't have to watch that. And look, back to the buy, sell, or holds, we got the pick on Lawrence, man. You know, we were all pretty confident about that. If he stayed in the game long enough, Syracuse was going to pick him off. And
should have had more than one.
Yeah, I know. And you get the pick six. Well, when Smurf dropped that one, and I'm like, that was it. That was the one.
That's not going to happen, right?
Yeah. So I was like, son of a bitch. But, with Garrett Williams coming in and doing what he did and taking it to the house, the first time it's ever happened in Trevor Lawrence's college career, that's huge, man. That's huge. You just picked off.
To me, that wasn't even his best play.
Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty good.
Obviously it's good because it ends up with 6 points, right? But as far as, I don't know if you remember, it was a real deep pass to that Amari Rodgers, and he had initially caught it, but he rolled over, and as he rolled over, Garrett Williams came in and punched it out. Yeah. To me, that right there, you got a retro freshman making that play against a receiver like that. Like,
just played great defense. The defense was stellar, man. And the thing about it is, and I think, I mean, what had something to do with it, is taking longer on offense, man. At least they got breaks. They did a good job at moving the ball just enough when they didn't score to allow the defense to take a breather and not just go three and out in 30 seconds and have to flip the field again and get back on the field. They didn't wear them out. I think the defense.
And part of that is the offense, too.
Yeah, with the play calling and everything.
Well, if you're going fast, 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 and you have a bunch of new personnel or younger personnel and stuff, I mean, I'm assuming there was probably some communication issues as to why we really weren't, basically doing the things that we were supposed to do right on these plays, right? If not everyone's on the same page, but the coaches continually go fast, fast, we're going to go fast, fast, but the players actually just need it to slow down a little bit until they can get a little bit faster. You gotta walk before you can run, right? And with some of these guys, that's kind of the situation. So I'm really, really glad to see that we kind of changed the way that that we did our offense, and I think it worked. Obviously, I mean, they didn't get sacked as much. We ran the ball. I mean, Sean Tucker averaged 6.3 yards a carry. That might be our starter, Abdul Adams, Jarvion Howard next year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point because, you know, and he's going to get the year under his belt and he'd probably played next year anyway. Now he's fighting for a starting position. You're right.
And this guy, he's big for a redshirt freshman, and he's a guy that is so low to the ground, and he's got good vision too. I mean, we've seen it over and over, and you saw it against Clemson too. So that was unexpected, and maybe slowing it down helped the offensive line as well. So hopefully it just gets more improved, and who knows, maybe here in the near future we'll have some type of quarterback challenge or a quarterback battle, or maybe we'll be playing two quarterbacks. So yeah, I mean, you never really know, but that's a transition. So
I still want to see what Jacobian Morgan can do. More of a dual threat guy, you know.
I want to see what any of them can do.
I know. Well, me too. But they obviously saw something in him to at least put him in there and hand the ball off, right?
I mean, it could be to the point where he just knows enough of the offense to call the plays and get up there and make it happen. But I did want to ask you one question. What did you think about that block punt?
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about that. It was great. It caught me off guard.
It definitely caught me off guard, right? I mean, I didn't expect blocking Clemson's punt. But what did you think? What did you think about, like, after it? Like, when the guy just jumped on it and you saw, like, the guys and they looked like they were mad at him?
No, I didn't notice it.
No,
I didn't. Why is this thing getting crackly again?
With this team.
Oh my gosh, it's so annoying. Go ahead.
Well, I just think it's one of the things with this team where the defense and special teams and everything, they're looking at it like anytime they have a chance to score, then they want to try, because I'm not to shoot down the offense, but the offense has kind of thrown away a lot of points that the defense kind of tried to help him with turnovers. So it was just one of those things where the guy jumped down on him, but like there was other guys around him that were kind of yelling at him like you should have tried to scoop and score, because there wasn't too many people around. So I thought that was just pretty, pretty funny, because you can kind of see a little bit of the mentality of that part, because the defense and the special teams, I mean, they've been making good plays all year.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it, and that's my bad. But I'll be honest with you, I understand that, but just fall on the thing at this point. We had trouble falling on one last game. Just secure it. That's all I ask.
Well, to your point, we had an offensive lineman that had a chance to just jump on the ball that Culpepper fumbled.
Yeah, that's true too. And I thought
he
did.
Tried to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was one of those, he tried to pick it up, but then he kicked it.
Yeah, it actually took me to watch it a second time to realize what exactly happened. So I didn't see it, and when it was live, I didn't realize what had happened. I took the replay just to...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
To show me, but that was the air out of the bags. So, all right,
yeah,
you've heard from us. We are going to hear from you in fan feedback. But first, of course, we got to go through the rigmarole again. Okay, so BetOnline.ag. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but still get in on all of the action. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. And did you know that Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker? This is a nose and ear hair trimmer and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps to prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes being your nose and ears. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes it for easy operation and cleaning. It is the only nose hair trimmer on the market today with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes before a recharge. So, if you're like Joe and you're pulling nose hairs out with your fingers constantly making your eyes water, cut it out. Cut it out. Go ahead. Head over to Manscaped. .com. Get 20% off and free shipping if you use the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go over there. This pairs nicely with the Lawnmower 3.0. And by the way, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. So stop being nasty. The other 21%, maybe you got you a 21%er, but I doubt it. Okay? Head over to manscaped.com. Thank you, betonline.ag. Thank you, manscaped.com.
That was one time, man.
What do you mean? One time what? Where you plucked your nose hair with your fingers? Man, I see you. You are on camera. I see you all the time.
It's time to hear from you. The Loud Mouths from the Loud House.
All right, this is the part of the show where we go over your thoughts, okay? Head over to the socials, at Cuse Militia on Twitter, at Cuse Militia on Facebook. At the end of each game, I'll ask for your thoughts. You give them to us, and we will check them out. So, basically, what we've got here, if I can get to it. All right, we had so much that we're not going to spend a ton of time. Some of these just need to be said. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to, I just did not see any, I didn't see any negativity at all, which was like unheard of, especially in a loss. So anyway, Brandon on Facebook says they played awesome for 2.5 quarters. Robert on Facebook, nothing to complain about. Very impressed with the guts they showed. They were in this game without the turnovers. Probably comes close to our point, Joe. You know, you take away the two. I mean, you might even be able to get by with two turnovers, but you take away the two that stopped possible scores for us, and then obviously they got 7 points off the fumble, and you know you're talking.
And there was an interception that was almost returned as well. So, and the thing with us is that we had very timely penalties and very timely drops. We had probably two or three drops that would have been first downs, and probably three penalties that stopped first downs. So, it's kind of just it's what happens, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. Top fan, Tim, on Facebook. Dino had them ready to play, but as expected, Clemson was too much for these young fellas to handle. Not great, but not bad. I'll take that from Tim all day. Mike on Facebook. Covered the spread. Defense did the best they could. Offense is still a disaster regardless of who's under center. Okay, so maybe there was some negative. But you know what? As far as the offense went, way better looking than they had. If Syracuse plays, let's see. I'm gonna make a bold statement. Maybe it's not even that bold. If Syracuse plays the way they did against Clemson, they beat Liberty. What do you think? I mean, we'll never know, but I'm gonna stick.
Probably
with
Liberty
it.
And Duke.
That's a possibility. Dominic on Facebook. By the way, Dominic goes on Twitter and he tells me I'm going over to Facebook because I want to become a top fan. Well, guess what, Dominic? Keep working at it. I see no bad here. So I'm really excited because they took advantage of Clemson sleepwalking. Not the outcome I wanted, but I'm so glad that Dino hasn't lost the team. That's a solid, solid good point right there. Two big points. Tucker has more yards at the end of the first half than ATN, and Garrett Williams has the most targets in... Oh, we talked about that. In the country for a DB has not given up a TD. Two freshmen. Future looks bright as at those two positions. Absolutely. But look, go back to his first point that he makes, because it's the most important one, I think, is that you look at what we've been through with everything in coach and the failing that we've had on both sides of the ball, and Dino obviously still has not lost the team. This team came to play. No. Dino had him ready, and I think that's wildly important. Wicked, yeah. As we say up north. It's wicked important.
And I can't remember in the past whether or not a Marone or a Schaefer team, or even a Greg Robinson team, even though I'm pretty sure, if either of those coaches, they lost the team and they just like tanked. I mean, we lost to Akron with Greg Robinson, so I'm sure it happened with him. But like
at home, wasn't it at home?
Yeah, this is what I mean about culture. This is what I mean about getting a guy in there that, I mean, I know everyone wants to see the wins, the losses, everything like that. But I mean, it says something when you just go and you lose to Duke and Liberty and you're having the season that you're having and all your commits from 2021 are still staying positive and your team comes out and responds like that. It just says something. And it says that, you know, the coaches and Babers and the people that they have surrounded those players, they're still the faith and they still believe and they understand and they know that they're young and they know that the best is coming.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it goes without saying to Dino's character. And the one thing I wish he would do, he kind of did. They readjusted the offense. I feel like that should have come sooner, and I'm not a coach, so I don't really know if they were trying to or what was going on or if it just took that long to implement, but I think it came at the right time going into Clemson to do what they did there and then coming back here, and we got two games.
I think a lot's what we've talked about. I mean, you've emphasized the spring. I've emphasized the new coordinators and how we were a little bit behind the eight ball than most teams, especially with experience coming back and with some health issues and some opt-outs. So maybe it just took this long. And then with DeVito going down, then it definitely was like, okay. Maybe it took the Liberty game for them to be like, yeah, so this, what we want to do is just not even an option.
We just don't have the personnel for this. Let's scratch it and try something different. Let's do what we can with the personnel we got.
And like I said, they were trying to asking some people to run before they knew how to walk, as far as the system and everything going. Also, while learning and new systems and new ways that coaches coach. So maybe that's just what the issue is. But obviously, we all know our number one issue is the quarterback room.
Yeah, obviously. Joe T on Facebook, I really enjoyed seeing this team play a really competitive game against the number one team in the nation. Our running was solid, and when possible, our receivers made the catches. That's another thing. Didn't have a ton of drop balls. Well done for this young team. Go Orange. By the way, the defense was awesome. Yeah, not a lot of drop balls. The defense we talked about, they stayed in the game pretty much the entire time. I mean, you got some garbage time in there when you just, doing what you do. But really good. I mean, all around as far as that goes. And and by the way, don't confuse my positivity or the positive things I have to say with like this is satisfying to me. The game was not satisfying to me. I don't want to lose. Okay. What is satisfying to me is really in the point that Dominic made. He makes a great point in that this team's still fighting. And like I said at the beginning of the show, they showed us that there's still a reason to come and watch games and cheer them on, that they're still fighting, so we should support them. That's what because after Liberty, guys, I got to be honest, I was like, I wasn't giving up by any means, but we did hear a lot of that, but I needed to see something. I think I said it. I needed to see something, and I did. So I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of tweets from non-SU fans, just college football fans and sports writers and all these other stuff. And like tweets like, never once coming into this Saturday that I think that Clemson and Syracuse was going to garner my attention. Yeah, no, I mean, and that's what made, like, I know you said no moral victories, but what made me satisfied about that whole situation was that Clemson had fans. We went down to South Carolina, and we've kind of been that little, just that pesky little fly, you know, that pesky little fly that just follows you around everywhere, right? And you just can't kill it. You won't let it go away. And, I mean, we've only beat them once, but it just seems like they just always have a tough time with us. And it's just one of those things, whether they sleep on us when they're not supposed to or whether we injure their quarterback. It's to watch those fans be so quiet and being in the third quarter and then we get that pick six. Like I said, people keep saying 2.5 quarters. I'm going to say 3 quarters because it was 1:26 before that damn fumble for a touchdown.
Yeah, and it was a 6-point game.
But you could see the fans, they weren't loud. They expected to come in here and whoop. I mean, think about it. It was 46-something point spread. Everyone thought that there's a lot of people that were like, oh, they got it. They're going to get this. And they only scored 47 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to put that in perspective. So that's just a situation where I loved watching those Clemson fans squirming in the third quarter when Garrett Williams returned that touchdown. And we had that Nykeem Johnson touch, and it just and got it within 6 points. That was the satisfaction of the day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Timothy on Facebook, proud of the boys in orange, put up a fight today. Only down 6 halfway through the third before the fumble return TD by Clemson. Go orange. As we got Joe, he notated the time on that. I'm going to take his word for it. At Cuse Waterboy on Twitter, game isn't played on paper. I'm super proud of this team giving Clemson a battle for most of the game. They blocked out all of the naysayers on social media all week saying Syracuse would lose by 46 or more. Williams is a stud. Build off this for Wake. Let's go orange. Yeah, that's kind of like the main takeaway for me. Like, let's build off of this. Take all of these goods, and it kind of, for me, a little bit, especially on the offensive end, it does hinge somewhat on what Sean Tucker's condition is going into Wake, because obviously they lose a lot there with Sean Tucker sitting on the bench. At Matt Sherman 52, well, Garrett Williams needs some love. He's the future. He won't have to watch the ETM. We won't have to watch the ETM breaking the ACC rushing mark highlight against us. That's huge. It's a great point. The highlight. Overall, with the depth we have right now, I'm not upset. Hope we can come out and beat Wake. I got that RN meaning right now, but guys, I normally wouldn't get that. I pre-read this, and I said, hey, I asked my son, what's RN? Oh, right now. Yeah, that makes total sense. Okay. at E. Donovan 91, I spell out when I text. I just spell it.
For the most part.
No, you use N as like cookies and cream. No, N. Yeah, instead of and, you use an N.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lazy. At E. Donovan 91, Garrett Williams is going to be a major problem. Hopefully Sean Tucker is okay. Good young core. Missed the presence of Taj Harris for sure. The QB play was poor. Definitely need Tommy DeVito to return healthy next year for him to take the step. So, look, we talked having Tommy DeVito next year, I think, will be good. He's going to get that extra year eligibility too. And also, you know, there was, you know, there, I think Syracuse is interested in looking in the portal. And I think probably Syracuse maybe should have, would have, could have already, and maybe they have,
but they should have. That's what I was going to say. Deservingly so.
Yeah. Maybe they have. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. But if they haven't, they should be. And if they are, they're going to need to do something. In my opinion, they're really going to need to do something in the offseason. Start on it now and work it out for next year's campaign, in my opinion.
No, I mean, have you even came out and said what's wrong with Tommy yet?
No, they have not. And haven't gotten a timeline. Everybody stopped asking. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, I saw him with a little scooter on the sideline like it was an Achilles injury, because that's the only injury I see with somebody like that. But it could just be a foot injury as well, and they just wanted to keep him off, and that's the easiest way to do it. But I'm still waiting to hear from that. Just like everybody else.
I have to apologize seeing this tweet right here. So at Turf on Fire, he says, love the fight. Garrett Williams and Tucker are the future. Absolutely. Dome Nachos on Twitter. Look, I put out a tweet asking for people's good, bad, and ugly. I'm going to let the fans put together a good, bad, and ugly. Okay? And I might add stuff that I see that's missing, but I'm going to put one together with them. So I did put it out on Twitter, but I deleted it. And Dom Nachos, he must have seen it. And he gave his own, but I forgot to pull it. So that's my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to waste your time with that. At Oil Cuse, our buddy Captain Patrick, just them staying in this game means the season isn't a complete and total throwaway. And by the way, that means a lot. Our buddy Tim and our buddy Pat, when they're positive, there's no reason to be negative, right? Right?
Well, when they're positive, then we pretty much got the temperature of the room, and mostly everybody else is positive, right?
So, yeah, right. I think that's fair to say.
And they were probably just like right there with me at the end of the first quarter, like, here we go, 17-0. Thought it would have been more, but that second and third quarter – minus that last, you know, that fumble
last possession
for a touchdown, right? Yeah, that we were right there, and it changed my perspective of just how the season was going to go as well. And I just hope that they just keep going in a positive way. Maybe get some guys back healthy that we've forgotten about because they haven't played this whole time, and get some wins. I mean, if you can do this against Clemson. And get up for Clemson, albeit maybe they maybe slept on us and didn't come out all fired up.
I'm not sure. I'm not real sure about that. I'm really not. I think they got rattled. I really think that we play with so much fire on defense. I think they got rattled. You can see Trevor Lawrence is probably worst game of the season.
Yeah, well, I wanted to give you the broadcaster version because I was going to say the same thing. Is that all the broadcast? Oh, they, you know, the sleepy, this and that. Clemson came out and scored in a minute and a half.
Yeah, they were up 17-0. Really, what were they sleeping?
They were up 17-0. So it's one of those things where the broadcast just kept saying that, and other people said it even after the game.
I disagree with it.
Finally woke up, finally this and that. And I'm like, I finally just think that, you know, they kind of got over that hump that, you know, we just didn't have the depth and the experience to get over, right? And we just started making more mistakes. And
look, there was the Garrett Williams play, and we can talk about it 100 times, and it's still fantastic, and I won't get old. But
awesome.
That was a huge turning point in that game. It's freaking quieted the crowd for like a quarter and a half almost. And it was just, after that play, things were different. And Trevor Lawrence was not himself. So, you know, I mean, Travis Etienne was getting beat up. I mean, those guys were out there giving it their all. And they weren't sleeping on us. Like you said, I mean, 17-0 first quarter. I mean, that doesn't look like sleeping to me. Looks like maybe Syracuse was sleeping and they finally woke up. Right? I mean, what the hell?
Right.
So, anyway, by the way. I love Captain Patrick, and I love Tim. I'm just messing with you guys. At QStan44, D played great, but it's always the little things. Greenwood drop, Hackett drop, Rex 3 picks and 1 fumble. Tucker is a great running back. By the way, yeah, you know, you think about some of those things. The interception you touched on with Greenwood and then Hackett. Why didn't we see the receiver trick play when it was 27-21? Why do you run a wildcat package on 4th and 1 with Nykeem versus Clemson, with Nykeem versus the Clemson front? Look, I saw this, so I didn't say anything yet, and I saved it for last. That 4th and 1 play was terrible. It was terrible. Why do we continue to do this? Another 4th and 1 where we run up the middle, but this time we didn't just run up the middle. We did it in a wildcat position with one of the smallest guys on the field. Against all those big, burly Clemson defensive guys. I mean...
No, fastest too, though.
True. Then go to the outside.
Touche. I mean, it was one of those things... I don't know. Every single time we've gone for it on 4th and 1, I feel like it hasn't been like a spread out and maybe try to get somebody open and give a quarterback a chance to run or make something happen. It's always we get down there like we're the physically more physically imposing team. And the other team just blitzes everybody and we don't go anywhere. So
yeah, you got 10 guys in the box and we're going to take you on with our depleted offensive line.
I'd rather see what they did versus what they've done. I mean, I know one way or another, nobody's seen that. That's a look that we haven't seen or shown anybody. And I can understand why they wanted to kind of throw it out there for, you know.
I get it. I don't agree with it. Sorry. Not that I don't agree going for it. I just think a play call was awful. But that's the only one I got to complain about. So that's it, Joe. Anything else? Last word for Joe.
I just saw one thing. Oh, all right. Boy. Look. Okay. Time of possession, right? Uh-huh. I think this kind of proves to everything. Time of possession, I think they had 31 and some change. We had like 28 and some change.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So that's kind of proved exactly, you know, what we were talking about last, not just us, but a lot of people with this fan base and everything, is that we just can't go fast when we don't have the personnel to do it. And we got to change our philosophy to make us competitive. And again, I think that there was definitely a step in the right direction. And I think that there's a lot of people pleasantly surprised. And hopefully that there's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see if we can. We got two games coming up at home. And we'll talk about those. We will see you back here for the Wake Forest preview. I want to go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks to BetOnline.ag and Manscaped.com. Thanks to all of you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Peace.
I said peace.
Sounded like you said peace.